Welcome to Stay on Course with me, Julie Riga. My life has been a roller coaster of highs and lows, but what I know to be true is that when we are grounded in our purpose and savor the sweet moments of life, we are truly a success. Today, you are going to get the ingredients for success because life is salty and life is sweet. Together, let's explore the possibilities of our own lives and learn from thought leaders around the globe. Ready, guys? Let's cook it. In this next episode, we are going to speak about starting a product-based business. And we are going to cover the seven pillars of starting that business. We are going to touch upon vision, product, perfect customers, financials, operations, people, and marketing and sales. Stay tuned for this episode. The Stay on Course podcast is brought to you by the Minority Business Review. The Minority Business Review brings you expert insights on strategy, innovation, and leadership in business from diverse voices. We're changing the narrative and amplifying diverse thought leadership. Hear from inspirational executives who break barriers and reshape industries. Unlock the power of inclusion. Subscribe to the Minority Business Review today. Because when diverse minds come together, business thrives. Follow us and visit our website at minoritybusinessreview.com. Minority Business Review, where every perspective matters. Welcome, welcome, everybody, to the Stay on Course podcast. Today, I have Brenda Myers, and she's a seasoned entrepreneur with over 18 years in the tea industry. From kitchen startup to premier tea blending plant, Brenda now dedicates herself as a product business coach. Through the eSuccess Network, she passionately empowers women entrepreneurs for purposeful and profitable ventures. Welcome, Brenda, to the Stay on Course podcast.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being here and appreciate your time.
Amazing. But before we get started, I like to ask all of my guests, what is your favorite food, Brenda?
Right now, my favorite food is salmon, and not just any salmon, but the kind of salmon that you put in a very high temperature oven that's crispy on the outside and very tender on the inside and served with a rosemary glaze with Brussels sprouts. And I like Mediterranean type foods. So I just love salmon, really into it.
All right. That's great. And then it's really healthy. It's like heart healthy. It's all the way around.
Absolutely.
Brain healthy. It's all of it. So that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. So today we're going to talk about the seven pillars for starting a product-based business. And just before we get into the seven pillars, tell us just a quick story of how you got into the tea business.
You got me off guard with that one. Okay. So I got started with tea, actually introduced to tea when I was 8 years old. I had a beautiful aunt. She recently passed away. Her name was Auntie Reen, and she was just the most wonderful and kind and sweet person in the world. She had a beautiful home, and everything she had in her home was just gorgeous. And my house, you know, my parents had three kids. My parents drank, Folgers and Maxwell House coffee. And so I really didn't know what tea was. And one day I was at her house, I was about 8 years old, and she had me sit on her couch. And of course, everything in her home was just perfect. She had the antique, she had the plastic on the couch. She didn't have children, so her house was completely clean and neat. So I sat there and I waited, and she brought this tray in, and it had a teapot and this beautiful teacup, porcelain teacup. And you know about porcelain teacups when they have the flower inside of it so that you have something pretty to look at when you're drinking the tea. That's what that's for. And so she set that down, and then she poured this unbelievable amber colored brew, and it was just gorgeous. And I just looked at it, and like, I was in love with it even before I took a sip. And then there was these little sugar cubes, and she told me to drop one in, and she added a tiny bit of cream. And when I took a sip of that, I just felt not only super mature, but also just like I was the wealthiest woman in the world, you know, at eight. So just for the rest of my junior high, high school, college, I drank tea. And I'm from Michigan, so all my friends were drinking coffee, and I was just drinking tea, red rose tea, constant comet tea. And when I got down to Texas, I noticed that the tea was not very good. It was very sweet tea oriented, which I really had never had. And sun tea was real popular. And to me, it was just bitter and really low quality. And so as a hobby, I just started making a few blends. And then
nice.
From there, I opened a little tea shop and I did some farmer markets. And I don't know, one day a restaurant came to me and said, can you make me a tea? And then it just kind of went from there. So my intention wasn't for it to be huge. It was just started as a hobby and just grew from there, which I think a lot of product-based entrepreneurs, that's how they start. It's their hobby until it's not. It becomes a business at some point.
Yeah, I love that. I love the story because, you know, we think about high tea and just like the decadence of it all. And, you know, when you were getting those sugar cubes, you felt like all fancy. And I think it's interesting because I did go to Harrods in London to go to high tea. So experiencing that is definitely something that is a cherished memory. And
yes.
So I can imagine like tea brings up that that sense of nostalgia and memories, and you know, it's not just a drink, is what you're kind of saying as well.
Well, whenever, no, it's an experience. And whenever I would have a tea presentation, I would start with my story and show my Auntie Reen. And at one point she was still with us. And Sterling is my maiden name and Sterling is her maiden name. And so everything I did was kind of to honor her. But my friends and my customers would start telling me their stories. And it was always their grandmother, their sister, their mom, their aunt, somebody in their life turned them on to tea and they had forgotten that special moment. And then it just came to the surface like, oh my gosh, that happened to me. No wonder I love tea. And so it's a great connection that I had with customers who love tea. And I've enjoyed every minute of having Sterling tea.
Yeah. And so thank you for sharing the story behind the story, because as we get into the tactics of what it means to start a product-based business, there is always a why behind it. And so as we think about that, and a lot of people listening as entrepreneurs or corporate executives, whatever you are, there's a story behind the story. There's a story behind your business. And that is the story that makes you different. It makes you relatable and makes people want to buy from you. It's not the actual like operations of the business. It's the story.
That's right.
It's the story that is the connect to the sale. And so I think that was a good, we just modeled it, Brenda. We just modeled that whole process.
So of course we did.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So let's get into the details on how to start a product-based business. And where do we get started, Brenda?
Well, it starts with the plan. And, you know, when I started Sterling Tea, I didn't have a big plan, but I had something. It was actually a half page piece of paper of all my dreams and big goals. Some people call them big hairy goals of what I wanted Sterling Tea to be and what my eventual goals were, starting with what my vision was. And my personal vision was to help everyone enjoy a better cup of tea, you know, and then what was my company mission? You know, I just wanted to be able to offer my customers tea that you didn't have to add sugar to. And it was as simple as that. You know, it wasn't any more than that. I thought about maybe getting into stores or, you know, having a tea shop, but it was so new. I didn't know where it was going to go. And it's okay, but you need to get something on paper because it will change. But you need to look at what I call the seven pillars of starting a product-based business. And you can apply this to any business, but product-based businesses to me are very important because there's a lot of upfront costs. And so before you start diving in and spending a bunch of money, you need to map out and understand just seven things, really simply, before you even open your doors or make your next product.
Yeah. So we have the vision and then perhaps a mission and some objectives. Now we're talking about the product, and it sounds like you were the creator of your tea product. Tell us a little bit about like what that took for you to create the actual tea?
Well, it started with a lot of research for me because the second pillar, of course, after your vision and even thinking about your exit plan, because you kind of need to figure out where you're going to go. But after that, you think about your product, and it goes beyond, oh, I make this product and now I want to sell the product. You need to research. You need to research your competition. You need to assess the risks, the strengths, the weaknesses of your product. What makes your product different, unique, special? I mean, tea, how many tea companies are out there? There's so many tea companies, and tea's been around for whatever. It's the second most popular beverage next to water. You know, so I wasn't doing anything new that a million people or million companies haven't already done before me, but I needed to figure out what made me unique. And like you said, the story was part of it, but it was also creating a really good product, you know, that I was proud of, that I wanted to put my name on. And then I had to create a niche for myself because I couldn't just say, I want to sell tea to the world. I mean, I did say that at first, but realistically, as I got into it, I realized niching down and creating a product for a certain market was really the way to go for me. And that's what I eventually did. And that's why my company grew and became and stayed, you know, sustainable and became successful.
Wow. When you were making your product, and I'm not sure of the answer of this because my daughter at one point wanted to start a slime business. And I'm like, I didn't want to do it because I'm like, well, what are the insurance implications? Like, how do you deal with all those sort of like FDA regulations and things like that? So what do you have to deal with when you're building some sort of product that is food-based or something that you're ingesting or can ingest? Like, what do you need to think about there?
Were people ingesting slime?
No, but I was afraid that, like, what if the kid puts it in? What if a kid started eating the slime? That's what I was really afraid of. And I'm just like, I can't, it's beyond me at that point. And I told her, no, I'm like, you can't start a slime business because I didn't want to deal with the liability of it all. And I really regret that because she had that entrepreneurial spirit as a young kid that I squashed.
The first thing that went to my mind when you were talking about the slime was what kind of packaging she was going to have. That was the most interesting thing to me, not what was in it, but how it was going to be packaged. You can put it in an egg or, you know, or what. And then she can remedy a lot of that by putting disclaimers and notifications on the package itself. So for a food-based business, though, you really need to know what's going on in your state and then, of course, your country. For me, Texas Department of Health, because my business is in Texas, so I followed their guidelines. And I did that immediately. I got a manufacturer's license right out of the gate. I've had it forever since I started. So the second thing was when I started importing from other countries, then the FDA came into play. And it's just, again, you know, getting on their website and getting a number and following their guidelines. Each state is different. Some allow cottage. They have cottage laws, like in Texas, you can make up to $50,000 and you can do it out of your home, even a food-based business. There's some cottage law requirements. And then if you fit those, you can do that for your first $50,000, which with my customers who are getting started with their own tea business, I always recommend that is start in your house, get your feet wet, you know. I was fortunate that I had a building that I turned into my manufacturing. Because it was a tea shop, I used the city's rules and followed their guidelines. So, you know, I'm just that way, though. I like to follow the rules. I never want to get shut down or have any problems. And if you do it up front in your plan and you factor that in, then down the road when you're super busy and the state comes out and says, hey, what are you doing? Then you can say, here's what I'm doing. And here's, you know, I did it right. Yeah. Instead of trying to figure it out on your way and, you know, possibly get shut down when you're in the middle of it, and you spent a bunch of money and time.
Yeah. So, interesting. All right. What is next? What's next on the list?
The perfect customer. After you decide your product and you decide, yes, this product is a go. And this is where I want to sell it. And this is my target. You need a target audience. So again, I'm all about the niching. When I first started, again, like I said, my dream was to get everybody into a better cup of tea. Now it's coffee tea shops who are franchises who serve and sell tea to their customers. That's my target. I will take other customers, but these are the people that I want to spend and I am spending the most time on. And once I made that shift in my head, that's the people that started coming to me. It was pretty amazing. And I love those customers because it, for me, it's the most bang for my dollar. You know, it's the most time well spent, because I know that if they're selling it and I'm telling them how to, if they're serving it, I can tell them, okay, this is how you can sell it. Someone likes your tea, sell them a 2 ounce bag. And then everybody wins. Mm. We make more tea for them. They sell more tea to their customers. I also am a big proponent of white labeling. I like that because a lot of people want their name on their product. Helps me sell more tea and it helps them promote their company. Mm. So that's my niche. Other people, you know, but I figured it out over time. So if you can at least start with a niche, not just be selling to everybody, your niche might change, but at least you've got something on paper that you can get started with.
Hmm. I like that. Well, I like that it worked for you.
It did eventually. It took some time. That's why I'm doing this, because I want people to skip the steps of me trying to figure this out. I'm giving you the version of not how I started, but how I got there. And I would love it if I could just get people to do it and show them how to do it right out of the get-go. This will save them time and especially money, which is so important when you're just kicking off a business. Unless you have a ton of money, then you don't need this.
Right. Yeah. And I think we just spin our wheels a little bit because we don't ask for the help or get the help that we need.
Exactly.
And then we just kind of spin a little too long. So that is true for probably any kind of business, service-based or product-based business. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about those. The next one, which is okay, the financials, yeah. Right? It's the...
Mm-hmm. Financials is a big deal. And this is what I think most people tend to be the weakest at, especially the entrepreneur for like a product-based business, because I don't know, did you ever read the E-Myth?
I have it. I just haven't read it. I have it.
Well, the E-Myth is the philosophy of you've got your technician, your manager, and your entrepreneur. And a lot of people are entrepreneurs and they're technicians, but they're not great managers. And a technician simply means the one who makes the product. So when I sold my tea shop to my manager, she was really good at making food. And so she liked to stay in the back and make the food rather than come out and talk to customers and put, you know, teenagers and high school kids in front to take care of the customers. And I kept telling her, people want to see you. You know, you are the face of your company. And she just wasn't comfortable with that. And then when it came to the books, whoa, I really tried to help her understand the money part of it. But she was so good at making the food and, you know, running that kitchen successfully. She just couldn't be an expert at everything. And I'm not saying that you have to be an expert at your financials, but you do need to take the time to understand them and at least look at your P&Ls, profit and loss statements, once a month. And this is something I had to teach myself because I came in a background in medical sales. I never looked at, you know, balanced my checkbook. But when I started my business, I forced myself to learn the basics. And now I do all my own books. I would never give those away because they are the key to my financial success or failure.
Wow.
Also, pricing your product. Very important that you price properly. A lot of people just take, you know, this pen and they double it. And you can't do that. You have to look at all your costs. You have to look at your overhead, you know, and your employees, if you have any, and you know, just your production costs. It goes beyond just product purchase and product sale.
Wow. So,
yeah.
And it's true. I think that for most people that are starting businesses, they're not really looking at their profit and loss. And I just think about running my business and how much money I'm putting out for technology. I think mm-hmm. the biggest thing that I spend money on right now is technology. My Zoom, I have GatherRound, I have eSpeakers, I have Keep, I have, you know, and the list goes on. I probably have 10 things I'm paying for right now to run my business. And so I think would probably be just good for me to write all that down because it's a monthly reoccurring fee.
Yeah, it is. And you will be shocked. And then you have to say to yourself, okay, I'm spending X amount of dollars. Let's say it's $1,000 a month for all of these combined services, which are all important. But where am I getting that $1,000 coming into my business to just go to back to zero? Forget
right.
about making a profit, you
sure.
know? So I think people get into it. They think that, oh, if the customers are here, I'm going to make money. It's okay. I'm selling stuff. But they're not looking at, you know, where I see it in the tea industry, especially at like tea and coffee shops, I see overhead, massive, you know, 60%, 70% they're spending on just their employees, which
wow.
is not good because they don't understand. They just figure I've got a lot of people here to take care of their customers and they're not making any money. They're losing money, even though they're selling product because their overhead is way too high.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And I know nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody likes finance. I get it. I don't, you know, I didn't either, but I found a way to love it because I turned it into a game.
Yeah.
You know, it was a game for me to look at my numbers and, you know, and it just became part of the business because at some point, and I'll tell you what happened to me, year three, I was having the tea shop, doing my thing. I thought I was making some money. And my accountant, bless her heart, she's still with me. She said to me, Brenda, if you don't start making a profit, this is going to be considered a hobby. And that's it. I mean, at some point, you can't continue to write off your debt. And, you know, at some point, it's just a hobby and it's no longer a business. And I listened, I really started to understand what she was saying to me. It was like, oh, I'm not doing this right, am I? Again, nobody told me. I just had to figure it out. So that's when I really started to dive in and understand, you know, and I had to hire somebody to help me. I hired her, you know, we sat and she went over everything. And now she loves doing my books. It takes a minute. I'm reconciled by the end of the year. I have my January numbers ready to go. And to me, it's exciting. I like it because it's done. Boom, I'm done. Now I can get back to business or get back to selling.
Well, and it's a good way to, I think, celebrate your success because you
it
can
is.
See it in a tangible way.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people say, oh, you've done this, you've done that. It looks like you're successful. But when I see my numbers come in and I was able to support myself
mm-hmm.
doing the work that I love, that's when I know I'll be successful.
Yeah. So operations is the next one. And again, this really applies more. Oh, well, in your business, of course, it's all those tools you just said that you have to use and use properly. Making products is operations is extremely important. And you really need a manual so that if, you know, Mary's working for you one day and Mary quits, then John comes in and now you can give the manual to John. So this has a running start of what do I do, you know?
Right.
So the operations is something that maybe you're doing all the work now, but it's not going to be forever. So having a manual and keeping it updated with the operational points of your business and just how you're going to run it.
And then that leads us into people.
Mm-hmm. So you've got your people to help you run your operations because you can't do it by yourself forever. Even you as a podcaster or speaker, eventually, if not already, you'll have an assistant or you'll have, you know, a virtual person. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to hire a W-2 employee. It could just be a contractor.
Let's talk about sales and marketing.
If you're selling something you're really proud of, you're really not selling. You're just trying to get it out there. And that's big part of that is marketing, which I am very weak at. I am not good at marketing. So because that's my weakest link, that is definitely something that I've needed help on. And we all have our thing. Like I said, you can't be strong in every area and you need help. And that's why Mary Jo and I are starting eSuccess Network for that exact reason, because we know that when you're getting started, there's no way you're going to be an expert in every area. eSuccess Network was created for that reason.
Tell us a little more about the Seven Dragons offer that you have from the eSuccess Network.
We have a offer. If they're interested, if your people are interested, your listeners are interested, of seven dragons, every successful entrepreneur needs. and they must tame these dragons. And it starts with, I think a big one is fear. And even before you start your business, you're going to be afraid, you know, and a lot of people are, not everybody, but most people I meet, there's some fear there. And it's just the fear of not knowing all of these areas of business.
This has been a very insightful conversation. I think that all entrepreneurs starting a product-based business need to consider some of our nuggets of gold here today. But can you please give us a recap of the 7 pillars of starting a product-based business?
Okay. So the 7 pillars that I think are important, and there's more, you know, and there are more, but the 7 that I think are most, just to at least get started considering and have on a piece of paper, take a piece of paper and start looking at these areas, is your vision and your exit plan. And then your product. And all the things you need to do to decide if you've got the right product. Your perfect customer. And again, we talked about niching, at least initially. I know you want to sell to everybody, but sometimes it's better to just find your focus and at least get it to become an expert at that. And then you can niche in other areas, but start with a good niche that you become an expert at right away. Then your financials. You don't have to be an accountant, but you got to look at them. And then you need to price your product correctly. And I show people how to do that all the time. It's real important. You don't miss the step of how to price your product properly. And then your operations. Make sure you have a book or something that you can easily teach a new person as you start adding your people, which is the next one, and making sure that you hire people that will stay with you. So take your time in hiring and make sure that you understand what makes them excited to stay with you. You know, I never paid the most, but I had a culture that some people really got. And even the people that no longer still work for me, they're still my friends. They're still in my life, you know, after 18 years, because they understood the culture and they understood what I was doing and they were part of it and they loved tea. And then lastly, your marketing and sales. You're either going to be really strong with that or you're going to definitely need help on that one, because that kind of sails the ship of everything else that makes the rest of them hum, I guess.
Exactly. Thank you. And I think the 8th one, which we could possibly add on top of all of this, is have a really good story that connects to your product, because that's going to connect to the heart and that's going to get you more sales, I think, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I was talking about that earlier. You know, you really need to understand a little bit about speaking and presenting. I know I'm piling on things you need to know, but this one should be easy, because most people, they start a business because they have a passion and they forget that that passion motivated them to even, you know, put their sign up and get started.
Sure.
And to be able to speak that passion and to convey that passion when you're marketing and selling yourself is going to help you immensely when you're trying to bring on your perfect customer. So, you know, I told my story and it connected with a lot of people. You have a great story as well. And I think most people do. So it would be helpful for them to find someone like yourself to teach them how to tell their story and be able to stand up in 30 seconds at a networking event or wherever you decide to go to promote your company, and how to really, you know, promote yourself in 30 seconds or less and tell your story.
Super important to be ready to present. Always be ready. Always be ready and always raise your hand, especially if you have a business. You want to be seen and known and heard for the right things. Brenda, this has been amazing. Tell us where our audience can find out more about you.
So eSuccessNetwork.com is Mary Jo and I's our program that we are launching. It's a membership-based site. And we'll be having this spring, we'll be having our first event in Dallas. And if you'd like the 7 dragons of every successful entrepreneur and what they must tame, it's esuccessnetwork.com/stay-on-course.
Yay. I love that. I'm totally going to download that and I'm going to share it on all my socials. Brenda, thank you so much for your insight and sharing your 7 pillars. of starting a product-based business. And thank you for being on the Stay on Course podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Right now, it's your turn to always be ready. Visit stayoncourse.io and download the Before I Speak manual and schedule a 15-minute vocal audit call with me, Coach Julie Riga. Have a fantastic day. My dad, Ennio Riga, was not just a chef. He was my hero. From the hardships of World War II to the heights of culinary excellence, his story is nothing short of remarkable. Now, this story lives on in Stay on Course, a book that is very close to my heart. It's filled with his own words, his recipes, and the wisdom he imparted to me. Just imagine, 4 months before he passed, he handed me his life story, urging me to finish it. In these pages, you'll discover the secrets behind mouthwatering dishes and the lessons he taught me about leadership and perseverance. And trust me, there are some incredible tales in here, like the time he pulled off a birthday bash for Frank Sinatra with just 48 hours notice. So, if you're hungry for inspiration and craving a taste of Ennio's legacy, head over to stayoncoursebook.com. That's stayoncoursebook.com. Grab your copy and let his story ignite your passion.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Stay on Course. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast so Julie can continue serving up delectable experts and appetizing content directly to your earbuds. And remember, right now, you have the ingredients to be living the life you are meant to live. This has been a production of The Media Casters.